We continue in 1 Thessalonians. Please turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. Last time we considered God's will for us, our sanctification, in particular that we abstain from sexual immorality. The instructions continue now with 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do this more and more. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we need the help of your Holy Spirit to understand your word, particularly as we consider instructions that seem very simple. Would you grant us deeper insight into them? Would you apply your word more deeply into our spirits that we might live lives in accordance with it, to your glory and to the good both of ourselves and all those to whom we meet. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the early Christian community was known, among other things, for two particularly distinguishing characteristics, traits that marked them off from the contemporary society, the worldly society, the pagan society in which the church was being formed and growing. Purity or holiness of life and conduct was one of them. That's what last time on a Sunday evening our instructions from 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 8. Purity, holiness of life and conduct. But secondly, they were also known for their sincere love, commitment, and fellowship with one another. They were truly a display to the world to see as they took care of one another in the midst of great difficulties in many cases. And so again, Paul having developed more extensively that first his instructions that would, of course, in God's providence help lead to those characteristics, he now takes up his second of those, love. Love. Love is our theme tonight. Each point we'll think about an aspect of love. First, let's think about brotherly and sisterly love, because that's what these two short verses are about, brotherly and sisterly love. Now concerning brotherly love, and then he continues on for the rest of verse 9 and then verse 10. Now, it's important to point this out. There are, and y'all know this from studies in the past, that the different words for love in Greek that are all just translated with one word in English. I don't bring this out a lot, but sometimes it's important to bring out these types of distinguishing marks of the Scripture. And again, it was originally given in Greek, the New Testament, that is. Well, this brotherly and sisterly love is the love Philadelphia. In secular Greek and in the Old Testament that was translated into Greek, this is Philadelphia is spoken of as love within the family or blood relations, family love, the love that a family that is truly living as a family ought, the love they're showing one another. Now, the other word that is often used for love is agape. That's that selfless, Christ-like love that we should have toward everyone, even our enemies. Those of us who have experienced the agape of God should demonstrate and love others with that same agape. And for example, God's love to us, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, we should show that towards all people, and we should also show that towards our brothers and sisters in the faith. But Paul is pointing out here for us that there is a special love, just like when we looked at Psalm 145 this morning. We saw that there is a common grace God shows on all the creation, even those who are against him. But there's a special grace, a special love he has for his people. So we, within the body of Christ, have a special love for one another. In the new covenant, in the church, just like these, we just sang about it in these hymns tonight. I was really enjoying it. We have a spiritual family. And so this love, this Philadelphia, in fact, this is a love you might say that is not referring within the body of Christ, not referring to blood relatives, although it could include that. But we're to love our blood-bought relatives. Our blood-bought relatives with this kind of love, this brotherly and sisterly love. Those of us whose bond is through the blood of Christ, shed for us for our sins. That blood that washes away our sins. That blood that joins us with all of our brothers and sisters in all time and for all eternity. We're to love those in the fraternity of faith with the affection and the sincerity of brotherly and sisterly love. There's really a truly special love within the household of faith. It's a mutual love. We obviously see it come out in times of, for example, taking prayer requests like we have tonight. This love comes out in our times of fellowship, eating together. It comes out when we, in our other times of more closely praying together, opening the floor and different of us praying together. And then when we have needs, sharing with one another those needs. James Denny, an earlier commentator on this, he thought that the importance of this, and I quote now, the importance of this brotherly and sisterly love, he said, is not sufficiently considered by most Christian people who, if they looked into the matter, might find that few of their strongest affections were determined by the common faith. He's saying that maybe if we look, we'd find that some of our strongest affections aren't actually determined in the way that Paul is suggesting here. And then he asked, is not love a strong and peculiar word to describe the feeling you cherish towards some members of the church, brethren to you in Christ? You know, there's two sides. It's a part of me, and I think it's okay. As I've read this over and over in preparing, I chuckle a little, right, as we know how we rub up against each other sometimes in the church. Is love kind of a strong and a peculiar word to use for how we feel about each other? And yet, he's really being serious, saying it ought not be that way. We ought to be able to say we love one another. And even many of you, I'm sure, as you depart, you might say, I love you. Or as you get off the phone even to your brothers and sisters in Christ. But he's just suggesting that he concludes the quote, love to the brethren is the very token of our right place in the church for ourselves. And so, and I, you know what I say to you, as Paul said to them, I don't mind saying it, concerning brotherly, I'm going to add sisterly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. I'm going to get into point two. With you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Then he goes on, for indeed that is what you are doing. So I commend you for your love for one another, and yet I would remind you, let's take inventory. Are we loving one another within the body of Christ as we ought? Are there some within the body of Christ whom we need to be reconciled with, we need to pray for, we need to admit we were wrong about something, that we can let this love grow again where it's been dormant? When we have needs, by the way, we have to share them. Don't hold a need to yourself, whether a prayer request, whether a spiritual need, physical need, financial need. Let's share our needs that we might join together and show this kind of love as we would in our families. Brotherly and sisterly love is what we're called to within the body of Christ. But there's also a God-taught love. A God-taught love. It's actually one word used to describe where he says, you have been taught by God to love one another. The Thessalonians had not only been taught about the love that we ought to show fellow believers, but God himself has actually taught them how to love. Well, what do we make of this? Well, let's think about it. In the Old Testament, God told his people to love their neighbors as themselves, right? We call that the second great commandment. It's actually in Leviticus 19:18. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Obviously, the first great commandment being to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus went on to say in John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. So he's demonstrating the deeper nature that this love will go within the body of Christ, as he's going to show us by giving himself for us. As he, in this case, in John 13, had washed his disciples' feet. And so he says, I've loved you, you also love one another. But yet I think there's more going on here than simply the commands to love. There's the fulfillment of the promises. In Jeremiah 31, 34, in the new covenant, Jeremiah prophesied in the new covenant, the time of redemption in which we live. Quote, and no longer shall each teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. And Isaiah likewise in Isaiah 54:13 said, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Now, this isn't saying that we don't need to be taught. What it's saying is God is working in a new way, in a more full way. In fact, the prophets promised in the Messianic age, believers would receive the Spirit. I can't help think of these. We could go back over those hymns. All of this was included in those two or three of those hymns we just sang together. The Spirit, we would receive the Spirit in its fullness. As Jesus went away, he said, it was better, I'm going to send my Spirit. And so now with the coming of the Spirit in his fullness to dwell within the believer, he applies the Word to us. He teaches us as we read the Word that it would be written up on our hearts. He brings fruit, the fruit of love, the first one, love, joy. The Holy Spirit brings joy. I'm not naturally joyful. I need the Holy Spirit's joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These are things we get from the Spirit. This isn't a sermon about telling you, hey, go out there and love people. This is a sermon where we say, Holy Spirit, dwelling within me, grant me the fruit of love, particularly for my fellow church members. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the Holy Spirit is the source of this love that we're talking about today in 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10. Jesus even said in John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And so he joins together that sense of being taught by God, being drawn, having his Spirit regenerate us, give us life. It draws us to him. And it's through that drawing to him that we then are drawn to one another, and that we then can, without embarrassment, without shame, love one another as Christ has loved us. So this is a spiritual love. Dare I even say a supernatural love. Something that comes from God, that he works through us. And when this is at work, it makes this place and any other gathering where two or three of us gather together, it makes those places a place of rest. With people you can be at rest with, be at peace with. I would even say in some degree, be yourself with, and to the degree knowing that as we are ourselves, we're always going to be sharpening one another, but the point is that we can be free together with this love. So we have brotherly and sisterly love, and we have this God-taught love And it's also an extensive love. An extensive love. You have been taught by God to love one another. Verse 10. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do this more and more. The church, that's the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters, in his case, throughout their whole territory of Macedonia. He's speaking to the Thessalonians right now. There's also Philippi and Berea and several other cities. Those are the three particular ones mentioned in the scripture. He's saying, your brothers and sisters, to us across, well, across the pew, across the street, across town, across the state, even around the world, we're to love them more and more. Paul gave special mention of the love for the saints that the Ephesians had, Ephesians 1:15, of the love for the saints the Colossians had, Ephesians 1:4, of the love that Philemon had toward the saints. So the Thessalonians, although already they are showing demonstrations of this love, yet he's telling them to love more and more. In fact, I would say here as a sort of a minor application here in terms of how this relates to the more extensive love, one of the church examples that Dr. Miller uses in the book that the session that we've been reading, he talks about a church that described themselves as a friendly church, but when Dr. Miller was able to interview some people who had visited, they said to him, well, they are a friendly church to one another. And because they're friendly to one another, they feel like they're a friendly church to everyone. But it's possible to be friendly among ourselves and not to others who we might encounter, who might come and join us here, who might be in other aspects of our life. So he's saying, truly, reach out beyond this immediate group. Let this love be extensive. I want to read an example of this extensive love in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. If you want to turn there, I'm going to read it. This is where Paul gives an example, and he uses this group of Christians as his example when he's writing to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 and following. He's trying to encourage the Corinthians to be generous in giving to the saints in need. He says, we want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. So we see the living sacrifice of giving of themselves to fellow believers and even making monetary gifts. And Paul goes on in his instruction to remind us of one of the principles at work here. Verse 9, the 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And so this is in a brotherly and sisterly love, a God-taught love, and an extensive love. And so his last word, he says, is, we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do this more and more. Paul always taught about a life of fullness in the Spirit. As the Spirit fills you, that you would grow more and more. Jesus talked about bringing us life and life abundant. As we're freed from the constraints of this world, our love can abound more and more for one another. And we can love with a bond that transcends the world's boundary markers. And so I leave you with now a number of verses of instruction here to sort of follow up and press this home. Romans 12:2, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Hebrews 13, 1 through 3. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Truly, they're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. In their case, put in prison for their faith. In our case, we have those around the world in prison for their faith, but maybe we have some in the States who are in prison and have become Christians in prison, and now there are brothers and sisters there, and we're actually, our presbyteries ministering to some of them in the Bibb County prison, believers in the prison who are doing gospel ministry now. So remember, let brotherly love continue. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And he gives a reason. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. If we've been born again, then we ought to be loving as those made new, having been given new life in Christ. And then it's an example, 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers and sisters. So it's an example. It's even a mark to show that we truly are born again, that we're no longer dead in sins, but alive in Christ, that we love the brothers and sisters. Jesus died that we might live. He took our sins and gave us his righteousness. He loved his own to the very end. And so he calls us to love one another as well. And so let us both continue to love as well as we are, and also recapture any part of the warm spirit of Christian kinship that maybe has fallen away. As we love one another, as we love fellow believers, the breadth of this love will grow as we reach across denominational and even ethnic boundaries. The depth of this love will grow as we share hurts. When we share a hurt, we go deeper together, but also as we share joys. The length of this love will increase as this love suffers long with others, that is, being willing to forgive, being slow to take offense, forgiving just as Jesus has forgiven us. This love surpasses knowledge. It's a fruit. It's a grace of the unsearchable riches of Christ. So by his Holy Spirit at work within you, let us love one another. And let us pray. Father, we do thank you for these simple yet profound instructions, reminders. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, whom you give. Holy Spirit, help us love. Even as Jesus loved us, so help us to love one another. We pray in his name. Amen. And now the benediction, a good word from the Lord as we go. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus increase our fellowship. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.